Our gathering hymn this morning is When Morning Gilds the Skies. We sing verses 1 through 4. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements. They are printed at the end of your bulletin, and you're welcome to take those home with you. One thing that is new on there is a flu vaccine clinic will be held here in the Fellowship Hall on October 7th, and that is from 4 to 6 p.m. I think the vaccine is free for Medicare patients, and for others, there is a nominal fee. Are there other announcements this morning? Anybody else have announcements? If not, then we continue with the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
The people of the Lord are God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Glories of Your Name Are Spoken.
Thank you. The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 21. After Jacob's death, the brothers of Joseph begged for forgiveness for the crime they had done against him. "You intended to do me harm," Joseph said, "but God used this as an opportunity to do good and save many lives." Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of God of your father." Joseph wept, then they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, We are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 103, verses 1 to 7 and 8 to 13. We will read it responsively. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities.
He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
He satisfies you with good things, and your mouth is renewed like an eagle's.
The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed.
He made his ways known to Moses and his work to the children of Israel.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and great kindness.
He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He has not dealt with us.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us.
As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 12. This Christian community has significant struggles with diversity. Here, Paul helps us understand that despite different practices in worship and personal piety, we do not judge one another. All Christians belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for all of us and will judge each of us. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will upheld for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it for honor of the Lord. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are all the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a world of numbers. We constantly have numbers before us. If you enjoy sports, you know that sports have numbers that decides the game. You count the number of runs, or the number of points, or the number of goals, or the number of strokes. We count the numbers. We also, in many of the sports then too, you're counting down the clock. You're watching that clock roll down. to see when the game went over and who has the most points, goals, whatever, throughout that. We live in a world of numbers. We are surrounded by numbers. You drive your car to the gas pump. You watch the numbers roll on the gas pump. Or you drive down the highway and you see the speed limit posted there on a sign. And so you watch your numbers on your dashboard. Or if you don't, a law enforcement officer may watch them for you. You are assigned different numbers. You have a telephone number. You have a social security number. Homes and buildings are built with numbers, and architects or engineers crunch numbers to come up with a design. Contractors and builders are constantly taking measurements. The materials are specified in numbers as far as their quality and quantity. Numbers surround us constantly with everything. At the end of the year, you want to know how much you've made this year. Well, the government's also interested in that number come April. We like numbers. We like numbers because we can measure things. We can know how long something is, or how wide, or how tall. We like numbers because it quantifies how much we have, or where our property line is. How many acres do we have? How many square feet is this building? It helps us to put the things in perspective, to know exactly where we're at. Well, Peter also understood the importance of numbers because it would help him to clarify how to live. And so he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, "Jesus, how many times should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Well, evidently Peter had been listening to Jesus with some things, because the rabbis taught that you need to forgive three times. And so Peter here is being very generous and asking Jesus, should we forgive as many as seven times? And Jesus, too, answers with a number, and I'll get back to that one in a few minutes. But Jesus goes on to tell this parable about the king who's trying to settle up his accounts, trying to figure out, get a handle, again, counting money, what kind of shape are we in as a country? And so he's finding who owes him money, where the money is, and calling people to come back and pay your debts. Comes across one of his servants who owes him 10,000 talents. Now that might not understand that number, because we don't measure money or wealth in talents. A talent was actually a weight. And it was used, a weight that was used either mainly for silver or sometimes even for gold. And even 10,000 talents of silver is quite a bit. Actually, it would be enough to pay for the budget of this congregation. Not only for a year, not only for 2 years, but it would pay for the budget of this congregation, everything that we'd spend in a year, for 5,000 years. That is the amount of money that we're talking about here with 10,000 talents. An unheard of amount, an outrageous amount, a ridiculous amount of money. And the king was willing to forgive that. I mean, even in our day and age, we do have some very rich people in this world, but even that amount of money would make them blink. They would not be willing to forgive a debt of that large. It's money that we will probably never see. And so it's an outrageous amount, but that's the point of this parable, is that it's an amount of money that we cannot imagine. God has no limits. God has absolutely no limits. And this 10,000 talents is almost that sort of number. It has no limits. We can't imagine that. We won't ever see that amount of money. God cannot be quantified. Again, we like the numbers because we like to know how many people can we sit in this building, how much money we have made, what's the score, how big is it, how tall is it, how many gallons can it hold, How much do I owe? How much does somebody else owe me? How old am I? When was my birth date? How many more years until I can leave home? We like numbers. It helps quantify. It helps us to plan. But we can't put a number on God. God is without numbers. He doesn't need numbers. We can't say how old God is because God was before time. God's not limited to time. He was before the beginning. And he will be after the end. There's no quantity in that. We can't say that he's in this space because God is everywhere. There is no limit to it. God has no limits. And that's the whole beauty of this. When God forgives, he forgives without limits. This king was willing to forgive without limits. Whatever that servant owed, that king was ready to forgive. God forgives us in that same way. It did cost God something. It cost him his only begotten son. Jesus was willing to go on the cross and die for our sins so that we might have life, so that we will be saved, so that we can be forgiven. God's grace is so immense that it's overflowing and it flows into us. God has no limits, and God is willing to forgive us without limits. When Peter came to Jesus and asked, "How many times should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answers here, according to this text, 77 times. You probably remember from a different version of the Bible growing up that it says 70 times seven. So that's either 70, what is it, 77, or is it 490 times? But think about it this way. How easy is it to forgive somebody? How easy? It depends on what the wrong is, what the sin is that they have sinned against you. But it's difficult to forgive somebody even one time. If they did something wrong to me, again, we like the numbers game. If they did something wrong to me, I am going to give something wrong right back to them because they deserve it. That's fair. That's even. The numbers add up. We like numbers. How hard is it to forgive even one time? Well, you may be able to excuse it one time. What if it happens again? Do you forgive that again? And then again? And then a fourth time? A fifth time? A sixth time? Seven times? How many times do you forgive? The whole point is that number doesn't matter. Because as God's love is unlimited, as his grace is unlimited, as his mercy is unlimited, as that forgiveness is unlimited, we too don't need to keep score. So it doesn't matter if it's 77 times or if it's 490 times. It simply doesn't matter because we just simply forgive because that's our nature. Because that's the nature God has given to us by his grace and by his mercy. God is without limits. We too can learn to forgive. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Chief of Sinners Though I Be." In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Good and gracious God, we pray for the church. Bless the ministries of the congregations in our community. Unite us in the proclamation of your life-giving gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, you spoke light into being. You separated the waters. You formed the dry land. Protect and enliven the creation you so love, and make us willing partners in its care. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, you love all tribes, peoples, and languages. We pray for all who govern. Give them wise and generous hearts for those who serve. Lord, in your mercy. Divine healer, calm the anxiety of those who are wrongly accused, who suffer under crushing debt, and who are in prison. Reassure those who are lonely, impatient, brokenhearted, homebound, hospitalized, grieving, or ill. We pray especially for Ruth Brandt, David Stern, Pastor Kathy Brosh, Pastor MacArthur and Grace Community Church, and the family of Ernell Niemeyer. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly, for our guests and visitors, for newcomers to this community, for those who are certain and for those who doubt, and for all who seek you in this place. Lord, in your mercy. We remember and give thanks for the faithful of every age who did not live to themselves but lived to you. Raise us with them on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. We continue with the offering. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.
Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is Savior Again to Your Dear Name. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.